Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it. Go drink it. Drink responsibly and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
My boss hit my line with an angry text saying something about B90X. I said wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. Then my phone blew up with a couple of alarms. I got bets to make. I got worms to farm. I said wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. I'm a wrestling son of a bitch from a worm farm down on the Mississippi. And if you got a problem with the way I live, you could catch a chest chop then a super kick. Yeah, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
Welcome into Wrestling, Barstool's professional wrestling podcast, presented by Brandon Walker. Hi, I'm Brandon Walker. Welcome to the show, and friends, lovers, I have a question. Have we ever had... When's the last time we had a week like that? When's the last time we had a week like we just had in professional wrestling? Last I talked, the world was one way. Now we're talking again. The world is a completely different way. The world has changed. Last week we gushed. We talked about the impending Cena Roman Reigns title match at SummerSlam and how awesome the moment was. How awesome the fact that Cena came out at Money in the Bank was. Money in the Bank feels like it was 6 weeks ago. And we talked about how incredible it's going to be and how WWE is turning the page and how things are going the right way. And then AEW just says, you know what? Nope. This storylines this summer belong to us. We are going to punch you in the mouth. And AEW haven't announced it or anything, but it's been reported they have signed both CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. And if you wanted to create an avalanche of interest in the product, especially online, if you want to create an avalanche of, wow, that's a big deal, all you had to do was sign one of those guys. AEW signed both, reportedly. So now we're heading towards a world where we've got CM Punk back in the wrestling game for the first time in over 7 years. We've got Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, whatever you want to call him, in a different company for the first time in, what, 12 years? You have got worlds of possibilities. You're building up to gigantic shows. SummerSlam is going to be huge. It's going to be on Saturday. It's going to be in Vegas. It's going to be 80,000 people. Huge. Then right after that, you got All Out in Chicago. It's going to be a rabid crowd. You're going to have Hangman Page against Kenny Omega, most likely. You're going to have just a remarkable back half of the year in wrestling, and we are right here. We're just sitting here. It's like a campfire, and we're just all sitting around it. We've all got gas cans in our hand. This is going to be incredible. All right, wrestling today. I bring on Robbie Fox to talk about the week that was in professional wrestling, to talk about CM Punk, to talk about Daniel Bryan, to talk about the ramifications of what's about to happen. We'll talk about we'll have our voicemails, and folks, you better be acting right today. You better be acting right because, hey, we got some moments here. We've had some family squabbles. We'll see where everybody's at by the end of the show. And our top five are, we just made the list this week. We just made the list, the top five SummerSlams of all time. The top five SummerSlam pay-per-views of all time. Before we get started, we are getting started. There's no before we get started. We're started. So we're going to dive into it. I'll bring on Robbie Fox in just a second. Before I do that, though, I just got to say this. And it might be counter to everything that happens on the rest of the show, but something stands out to me as I watch professional wrestling. And this might be a controversial take. It might not be a controversial take. But we're in a world where Cena and Roman Reigns are tearing it up on SmackDown now. You got Finn Balor on SmackDown. SmackDown has become a must-watch on Friday nights. Whether you watch it live or you DVR it, you need to check out what's happening because Roman Reigns is doing incredible work. Dynamite is must watch every week. You got the Labors of Jericho going on right now. You're going to have this 5-on-5 match very soon with Dark Order against the Elite. You're going to have a tag match with FTR against Santana Ortiz, which will be incredible. That'll be a show stealer. I can't wait this week. Dynamite is must watch. NXT, while maybe, I don't know if it's a must watch right now, it's certainly always good. It's even if you go into it, you're not into the characters, you're not into whatever, you don't like Karrion Kross, whatever. NXT still delivers incredibly every week, and they will be back on top of the mountain very soon. That being said, with all the news that's happening in the world of professional wrestling, with CM Punk going to AEW, with Daniel Bryan going to AEW, reportedly, with all these things happening, it just sticks out like a sore thumb how bad Raw is. Monday Night Raw is just terrible. You know, last night, if you're in a world where on Wednesday nights if you're in a world where on Wednesday nights the 18 to 49 demo is already trending towards AEW, and if you're in a world where they will now add to Kenny Omega, they'll add to Hangman Page, they'll add to Darby Allin, they'll add to MJF, they'll add to Chris Jericho, they'll add to all-time greats, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. If you're in that world, I don't see how Raw can keep opening with Nikki Ash and Charlotte and Rhea Ripley in a three-way talk fest that ends up going nowhere. That ends up, you end up having Charlotte fight Nikki Ash later in the night. Charlotte squashes her, and then after the match, they agree to a match next week. This is all supposed to build up to a match at SummerSlam. Who wants to watch that? Who wants to watch the wrestlers wrestle every week and talk every week just leading up to the exact same thing as SummerSlam? There's no creativity. There's nothing on Raw. SmackDown is great. It's led by Roman Reigns. Raw has Bobby Lashley and what else right now? What else is interesting over there? And with Lashley, you're giving him Goldberg. You're giving him a 54-year-old man who can barely move for SummerSlam. Why would I watch that? When I can get up on Wednesday and I can watch two flyby hours of Dynamite. I can watch two quick hours of SmackDown. I can watch two reliable hours of NXT. Why subject myself to a three-hour slog on Monday night? Now, in the world that I just painted, in the world where CM Punk and Daniel Bryan are now on the enemy and now they're competitors, I think that's the best-case scenario for Monday Night Raw. I think Vince McMahon, every time he's up against an opponent, every time competition rises up, he is at his best. Hopefully, that shines through in Raw very soon. Hopefully, they are able to take whatever this three-hour slog is right now and turn it into something compelling and entertaining and awesome. Because right now, if those are your four major wrestling shows in the United States, and they are, Dynamite, SmackDown, NXT, Raw, the flagship is and always should be Raw. It is easily the fourth most interesting, fourth best, and far and away the fourth show I would watch out of that group. So where do we go from there? That's a great question. Now, it's amazing how things change so fast because WWE had all the momentum last week coming off a great pay-per-view, and AEW reportedly stole it by signing these guys. And again, we're building up to a SummerSlam, then we're building up to All Out, then we're building up to a huge, maybe one of the biggest live TV shows I can remember in Dynamite at Arthur Ashe Stadium on September 22nd. What a great time to be a wrestling fan. So there's no bigger wrestling fan at Barstool than Robbie Fox. He and I are about to talk about the week that was in professional wrestling. Look at me. You're not watching on video. You're listening on a podcast. So look at your radio or look at your phone, or look at your TV, or look at whatever cheap-ass internet thing you got. Okay? Look dead into it. You. I almost insulted you. But this isn't about that because you deserve to feel happier. You deserve to live a better life. You deserve to be at peace. And Headspace is meditation made simple. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Meditation, what is that? A lot of people are asking that. Well, check out Headspace. It's one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace can really help you feel better. Are you overwhelmed? Everybody gets overwhelmed. Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Their approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Don't we all want that, brothers? Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. That's headspace.com/walker for a free one-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. Again, headspace.com/walker. This is the best deal offered right now. Go to headspace.com/walker today. Robbie Fox. Can you remember a week in wrestling, in professional wrestling, as crazy as the one we just had? Can you remember a seven-day period, maybe not even 7 days, five-day period, from, say, Sunday when we heard John Cena's music,
yep,
to, I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday when it was beginning, reports were leaking out that, hey, Daniel Bryan, I think it was Punk first, right?
Punk first.
It was Punk
Bryan,
first,
yeah.
It was Punk. And then, like, right before I could even think, well, if Punk's going there, Bryan could go there. As soon as I thought that, we started seeing reports that Bryan had, in fact, signed. Daniel Bryan had signed. I guess Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
Being fair.
Yeah.
I just, in a world of professional wrestling in 2021 where everything has felt very stock,
mm-hmm,
has felt very produced for the last 20 years. It felt like we were flying by the seat of our pants,
yeah,
last week, and that's the first time I can remember feeling like that in a long time.
A mind-blowing week for wrestling fans. I mean, the Punk news alone would have made it one of the biggest, you know, news weeks there is.
I feel like the Cena return, any of those stories as a standalone story is a week or 2 weeks worth of news cycle in the wrestling world.
Bryan signing with AEW, like that itself would have blown people's minds if that was the only news story of the week.
Yes,
yeah.
It's gigantic. So I just want to, you being a huge wrestling fan, me being a huge wrestling fan, let's just attack it like as a fan. You're a huge Bryan Danielson guy, right?
Huge. He's my number one all time.
He's your number one. Yeah. Does that mean you think he's the best or he's your favorite?
He's my favorite. I would put in like the top five of the best. I would probably say Shawn Michaels is the best.
You also have CM Punk very high too, right?
For me, CM Punk would be in my like personal Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Okay.
So like, so this is two of my guys.
And this is, I don't want to accuse you of anything or put words in your mouth, but to say that wrestling fans out there could have been disenfranchised with WWE over the last couple of years and wanting guys like Daniel Bryan, wanting guys like CM Punk, I mean, that's fair to characterize, right?
Oh, yeah.
And now that there's a legitimate number two, a legitimate second option for wrestling fans, this has to be, this feels like just a shot in the arm for professional wrestling. And that seems like too cliche. Like, this shakes everything up. I don't know that it's Hulk Hogan turn it heel at Bash at the Beach, but it's like, reminiscent. It's all the conditions are favorable for shit to go crazy right now.
This could be like a legitimate massive game changer for the industry. When you look at the ratings week to week, WWE dropping, you know, pretty considerably, and AEW's putting up surprisingly great numbers.
Especially in 18 to 49.
When they did the Darby main event recently, those numbers were shocking for AEW. People were like, they're getting way higher than we thought they were, way sooner than we thought they were. Mm-hmm. When you add Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, and CM Punk to that roster, there's nobody in wrestling that's going to be more of a must-watch commodity on television than CM Punk with a live microphone in 2021.
You're legitimately adding two, let's say this was an NFL team, you're legitimately adding two MVP caliber talents to a roster that is already a very playoff-worthy roster.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about a Super Bowl contender. Now you're really talking about a legitimate option that is going to make people say, WWE, whatever. I got CM. Again, you just said it, just in the world of 2021. How shocking, how great was he on the mic in 2011, where we still had these PG rules in place and we still had these, he still had these obstacles to navigate around.
Yep.
Now 2021, AEW. Put a mic in his hand. What's going to happen?
Shackles are off.
The shackles
total,
are
total
off.
Total freedom for him.
Man, I just can't believe, again, if you staggered these, they would be huge. Now, what does the future look like? What does the immediate future look like? Are they both showing up Arthur Ashe Stadium September 22nd? Are they showing up before that?
Do you save Punk for Chicago?
September 5th, Chicago, makes a lot of sense. Do you debut him as a wrestler there? Or do you have him as a surprise come out when Hangman Page or Kenny Omega win the title match? I don't know. I know this. I know that AEW is trending towards something that is very, very rare in this business, and they're trending towards having so an abundance of top stars. Usually there are two, two top stars, one top star. If you're very lucky, when The Undertaker was very good, three top stars.
Yep.
I mean, they're going to have Hangman Page, who they're building way up.
Yeah.
They got Kenny Omega. And I don't think either of those guys are yet on the level of the other two. But they're top stars. You still got Chris Jericho, who's putting asses in seats.
You're building Darby up.
You're
People
building Darby
love
up.
Darby.
You're building MJF up at yep. some point. You've got all these...
can you imagine MJF and CM Punk going toe-to-toe on the mic?
I hope I get to
Come
it.
On.
I hope I get to
we
see
need
it.
That. We need
I
hope that.
And Daniel Bryan, by the way. We're going to have to start calling him Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, I know,
right?
Yeah.
Bryan Danielson on the mic is no slouch.
No.
No slouch whatsoever.
Look at the 2013 feud with Cena. He was great in that.
Him on the mic against Jericho, against any of these guys. I mean, there's so many possibilities.
And the new matchup possibilities, even. Imagine Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega. Like, that's a match that I need.
I need to see it. It's endless. That's what the Monday Night Wars. You didn't live through it like I did.
No.
The Monday Night Wars were about crazy possibilities.
Yeah.
You turn on the TV on Monday night, you got Stone Cold, you got The Rock, you got Goldberg, you got Sting, but who knows who else is going to show up?
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what Vince is going to say? Who knows what Shawn's going to say? Like, there was a... Now, suddenly, we're out of the formula now. We're out of the wrestling box. We're out of the professional wrestling. This is what's going to happen during the show. You like it, whatever. Literally anything can happen over the last 6 months of this year. And credit to a lot of people. Credit to Tony Khan for... They've shaken this thing up.
Yeah.
They've shaken this thing the hell up. And credit to guys like, I don't want to say credit to Daniel Bryan for signing a contract, but certainly I would imagine it would be a safer long-term financial play to stay where he was.
He could stay in the WWE for the rest of his life and be a, you know, surefire Hall of Famer and
yeah.
all that stuff.
End up getting a Legends contract
yep.
just going and
totally.
making a couple million a year and just being easy peasy. But I understand that he's also written this AEW contract, if the reports are to be believed, that Japan?
Yep.
Japan?
The New Japan partnership is like a big deal for him. Dave Meltzer at least said
so
that.
You're talking about Bryan Danielson and Okada?
Like,
you're talking
oh my
about
God.
The Ace. You're
You're
talking
putting
about
chills on my
right,
arms
that,
right now. Like, legit.
Legit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's so exciting, and I haven't even asked you a question. I think I'm just rambling like a schoolgirl.
I know, we're just marking out right now.
But, what stands out to you when you talk about Daniel Bryan, CM Punk signing with AEW? What should go? That's the headline. What's the first couple of paragraphs?
I think what's important to look at is that if they sign, like if Punk signs with WWE, it's massive, of course. But
right.
if let's say like Daniel Bryan is a singular example, if he re-signs with WWE, I don't know how much of like noise that makes, if any. Like
right.
he goes back there, he continues doing what he was doing. And if he signs with AEW, he's immediately a top guy, a game changer. This is a massive moment for the wrestling industry. And on Punk's side, the industry, WWE-wise, hasn't changed that much since he left.
Right.
Like, the genuine landscape of WWE is pretty much the same. That's crazy when you think about him leaving almost 7 years ago now.
2014, right?
And it's like the Attitude Era lasted, what, 3 years in total?
Yeah.
And you look at how quickly things used to change, like, it makes sense that he wants to go to AEW, a place where he'll have creative freedom, a place where he'll probably be able to choose his schedule a little more, a place where things are different, at least. There's different opponents. There's different dynamics there. So I think it's, like, a good move by both of them. I hope Tony Khan dishes out the money for Cult of Personality and the Final Countdown. That would be amazing to get Bryan Danielson with that. And I hope he debuts at the Arthur Ashe Show, because I want to be there for it.
You know, when it comes to CM Punk, I've always thought, that being said, you said, you know, it's been 7 years since he's been gone.
Yeah.
That being said, it feels like the pipe bomb promo was 3 years ago.
I know.
It still feels fresh.
Yeah.
You can still pop
just
it on.
That's the 10-year anniversary. That's insane to think about.
Yeah. When it comes to CM Punk, I am a fan. I've never been a super fan. I've never been somebody who would show up at another show and chant CM Punk. The reason was, I always felt like this guy is a supremely talented wrestler who I could tell his unhappiness colored his entire character. Like, you can tell when some guys are unhappy, right?
Yeah.
You can tell when it's coming through. And I always felt like, whether it was his tweets or his behind the scenes or whatever, if he didn't want to be there, then he shouldn't be there. And I always felt that. I always missed him, but I was like, well, he's never going to come back to WWE. But now, think about a motivated, happy CM Punk in the wrestling world in 2021. What does that look like? Well, it looks like somebody in the ring who can go with anybody.
Yeah.
And it looks like somebody on the mic that is probably unmatched. The top five. I did my top five mic workers last week.
Yeah.
He was number three.
Yeah.
You put a mic in front in his hand, and AEW will have just, they'll have everything covered. They'll have star power. They'll have the young guys who can just go. They'll have the next generation. They got the older generation in your Tullys and your Jakes and your Arns there for nostalgia's sake. And for, I mean, they are really building a wrestling company that wrestling fans would build.
Yeah.
That and I'm talking about wrestling fans. I'm not talking about fans of the pomp and the circumstance, which I certainly am one. I'm talking about if you gave a wrestling fan a blank check, which I guess Tony Khan is a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
But if you gave a wrestling fan a blank check, they would build something very similar to what's happening.
And it's important to note that at this time in the whole wrestling business, that is like everything to wrestling fans. Because the other alternative, WWE, we had Nick Khan come out today and say, you know, we're not a wrestling company. We actually don't even use that word around here. And it's like, it's okay calling yourself sports entertainment.
Right.
But it's not okay calling yourselves not a wrestling company. Right. It's World Wrestling Entertainment.
Don't completely shit on the concept.
Exactly.
But I will say this. It is in moments like this where you bury them. You say the product's been dry, whatever. And now AEW's making these loud noises. They're getting all these stars. It's moments like this when Vince looks across the aisle, looks in the mirror, and figures something out and goes to the stratosphere. That son of a bitch. I don't know why or how. I'm just telling you, WWE, and I assume Triple H and Stephanie are probably the same way. When competition jumps up and punches them in the eye, which I believe AEW is punching them right now,
yep.
And especially in that 18 to 49, WWE's numbers are lagging. There's just no real spark outside of Roman Reigns. You know, where's the excitement? But when they get punched, man, they kind of take their thumb, they look at the blood, and they're like, okay, you want to fucking fight? And I feel like this competition, the best thing that ever happened to WWE in the 90s was Hogan turning heel and WCW taking off. And it took them a couple years, and then they said, okay, you want to take it here? We're going to take it here. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen here, but I know that competition breeds success. Competition,
I hope it does.
Breeds creativity.
Of course, yeah.
Competition breeds interesting TV, and that's really all anybody wants.
I hope this is a pro wrestling renaissance, and we're sitting here in 6 months being like, oh my god, I don't know what I should be watching this week. Like, I can't get enough wrestling in my eyeballs.
I'm already there, but there is an energy of Wednesday Night Dynamite that's different.
Oh, it's way more anything can happen, and that's what you were talking about with the Attitude Era being so great.
Yeah.
Raw doesn't really have that feel to me right now. I don't watch Raw and think like, oh my god, anyone could come out tonight. I don't know who's coming out.
SmackDown's a little closer.
SmackDown is a little closer. Yeah. SmackDown's a little better. Roman Reigns leading that, doing the best work of his career. I know you talk about him every week, but like, he really is carrying that a bit right now for me. And AEW, every week I tune in, I'm like, who knows? Someone could be coming out tonight. We could be getting a crazy match, a crazy hardcore match. Like, you really genuinely don't know. And I will say, the crowds have made both companies better. So, like, that's another thing where it's just almost grading them on a curve because I'm so happy to have crowds back.
The crowds have been fantastic. However, the crowds aren't going to stay at that level. The crowds are good. The crowds are great. But you gotta do work to keep them excited. And AEW, I think they're going to stay at
this
level.
The ticket sales for MSG, the SmackDown show versus Arthur Ashe. I mean, SmackDown can't sell 7,000 tickets right now.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, being that this is the home base. This is where in New York. This is, you know, WWE's territory.
How excited are you for Arthur Ashe, by the way?
I'm so excited. I might show up in Daniel Bryan's tights and kick pads. Yeah. That's how excited I am.
Yeah, it's going to be something. Since I got you here, let's just walk through it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean for Daniel Bryan's career?
This is a chance to like add another complete leg onto it. Like I actually think I had the last interview with him when he was in WWE, which is kind of a cool thing to say, egotistically. But he said to me during that, like, WrestleMania, like, yeah, I main evented it twice now. And like the second time it just felt weird. I didn't get that feel. Like, there was nothing more for Daniel Bryan to chase in the WWE. He kind of cemented his legacy there when he came back, especially like, okay, Daniel Bryan had one more great run, and he dropped the title to Kofi. That was a great heel run that he tacked on.
Right.
But, like, I don't see him reinventing himself in the WWE and being this new, like, Bryan I never saw.
The character of Daniel Bryan had been the ultimate underdog, and then he had been the ultimate heel, and he had gone all the way around the bases, right? And
totally.
There wasn't much more to do.
Yeah. In AEW, I don't know where his character goes from here. I don't know if he shows up with a shaved head and he gets violent like he used to in ROH, like the American Dragon. I don't know if he has a more Zack Sabre Jr. style where he starts wrestling submission style, like World of Sport, Johnny Saint stuff.
Does he do a grizzled veteran
thing? Does he do a grizzled veteran thing?
Does he do a WWE elitist thing?
I don't know where he goes from here, but I think it's a complete opportunity to like reinvent himself yet again and maybe become like in that GOAT discussion for more people than just me and the people that are more in the independent wrestling circuit. But like almost like a Jericho where it's like, all right, he also has the chance to build this thing up too. And he has the chance to make this something it's not yet.
Jericho has legitimately, I don't think he was in legitimate GOAT discussions until he went to AEW.
Yeah, I agree.
Or maybe he went to Japan. Once he went to Japan, that opened it up. Like, because he'd always been Chris Jericho, very good wrestler.
Yep.
Top 20. And now he's legitimately in the top 10 discussion because of how much he's done differently, of how many.
The longevity of his career. He's like a Jaromir Jagr.
And on the mic, he's better than he's ever been.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
He's great on commentary, too, now. Like, I feel like he should just be a commentator when he retires.
Now, what does it mean? What does it mean for AEW? And I mean that. Put your booking hat on for right now.
Yeah.
They've been building for a while. They've had Kenny Omega on top. And they've been building Hangman Page up as the successor, the guy who's going to take it. Now, I don't want to. I don't know how this is going to sound. You just signed two bigger stars.
Yeah.
So do you push forward with Hangman Page? Do you push forward with that and then use him to put it on? I mean, is CM Punk the AEW champion by the end of the year? Is Daniel Bryan the AEW champion by the end of the year? Do they come in and say, "Hey, we're going to go after the Young Bucks"? These are all possibilities. Yeah. I actually thought about that, but
bringing them in and putting them together in like a, they're kind of cut from the same cloth career wise. Like they, you know, they've been through the Indies, they've been through the WWE.
Yeah, but the Young Bucks, the Elite, you know, they're sitting on top of the world, and then here come these guys, and then you have the inevitable breakup. Like you could do it so many different ways, or you could just bring them independent of each other and let them exist in their own pods. But it's hard to see. I guess that's the fun part of wrestling, right? You want to see where it goes.
Do we have a triple threat at All Out? Do we have a fatal four-way at All Out with Hangman Adam Page involved in that?
Jesus.
And both of these guys. I don't know. That was one of the first like questions that I got sent into my podcast last week was, what do you do with these guys right away? Who do you want to see him face right away? And I said, wow, Brian, how do you not want to see him face that Kenny Omega match? But you have the Hangman Adam Page story that's like being perfectly built.
2 years.
The slow build. Yeah, it's like we think it's culminating to maybe All Out. So you don't want to put him in the way of that, but do you put him with like a lower feud to start? Like this is Daniel Bryan we're talking about. So you don't want to, like when they brought him back, I remember, and no disrespect to Cass, but they put him in a feud against Big Cass right away.
Right. Yeah.
And it was like kind of killed him and kind of like, you know, simmered the heat on Daniel Bryan's return down a bit. You don't want to make that same mistake again. So,
and I think AEW has a very good finger on the pulse of what wrestling fans want.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they always make the right decision because they don't, but they get close.
Yeah.
And frankly, we're talking about these guys, and if you just think about AEW, and if you're building AEW as a counter to WWE, they've also added Andrade.
Yep.
They've added.
I want to see that match.
Malakai Black.
Them, yeah.
They've got 15 to 20 guys that are stars in the business.
And I hate the narrative that they're a company full of like former WWE guys and stuff. No. I saw a stat the other day that the WWE over the last like 2 years has released like 99 wrestlers or something.
Yeah.
AEW signed 14 of them.
Well, here's my That's thing about whatever your opinion about the company in Stanford is, WWE is the most important wrestling promotion in the world.
Totally.
In the world. So if you work at WWE, you are a very good professional wrestler. You are good at what you have a character, you can wrestle, whatever. If you make it to there, there's something about you that is special and unique. And whatever, if they can't figure out a way to use it like Andrade or like Black, what do you want them to do? Just
they also
go to the Indies
talent
forever?
Too to make sure that AEW couldn't sign these guys.
I mean, these are guys,
and then couldn't find time for them because they had too many people. Like that's an issue. It's not AEW's fault that WWE signed these guys to keep them away from AEW and then didn't use them. Like,
I mean, should the Tampa Bay Bucks be punished or be laughed at for signing New England Patriots castoffs?
Yeah. Oh, you signed former Patriots.
They won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So
correct.
I don't know, man. I'm just fucking fired up. You said you got goosebumps. I just can't stop moving. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop. Because it's going to be great for AEW. Love the company. I think it's going to be a boot in the ass for WWE.
Yeah.
And we get to see two transcendent talents.
I want to see CM Punk wrestle again. Like, and I've never been one of those guys to chant his name at different shows and tweet him, "We bought your house," like you said. Yeah. But like, I just wanted him to be happy. And if he's happy wrestling,
yeah,
man, I'm happy watching him wrestle.
First time you see him come out that tunnel and he goes, "It's clobbering time."
I know.
Come on, whatever. It's man, just fantastic. I had a couple of more things. I'm trying to let my brain catch up to my lips, which often is a problem on this show, because I wanted to talk to you about something else. Oh, did you see our boy Matt Cardona at GCW?
Unreal.
What do you think about the aftermath where they were throwing the bottles at him? You think that's dangerous, or you think it's a one-time deal, or what?
I think it should be a one-time deal. I don't think that should be a regular thing. I saw the Dave Meltzer discourse about it. It's tough because that was part of what made the moment so great.
Yeah.
And that's part of what made Hogan's heel turn so great.
Right.
So I didn't watch that and be like, I hate that. I will say we had an issue at a pop punk show with bottle throwing. People throwing bottles at the stage in Boston. And as...
were you guys just terrible that night? Or
you know what? Roan, it was right after the Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And someone threw a drink and Roan was like, "You guys are throwing like Tom Brady was in that Super Bowl," in a real Roan Philly accent. Yeah. You know, his battle rap instincts kicked in.
Right.
And then, oh my God, it was just raining on us. I was so rattled. I was like trying to fight people in the crowd. It was like a bad...
I didn't know this happened.
R.A. was live streaming by the side. He's like, "Oh, Robbie Fox doesn't like the rowdiness over here." It was just madness. So from Matt Cardona's perspective, I'm like, yeah, I hope people don't do that anymore. Right. It probably was really dangerous. But I think Dave Meltzer said like someone like almost lost an eye from an incident like that.
But from Matt Cardona's perspective, he got to be thinking, this is fucking awesome.
Awesome.
Look at what we did.
And like the pictures of him afterwards with all the blood on his arm holding the new title. Like he's also making a new legacy for himself on the indies. He's not just going and doing the Zack Ryder tribute show where he's like, "Here are all my hits."
Him just leaning into the I just went and took your trash title.
Yeah.
Him
calling himself the king of the deathmatch after his first one ever.
I just love it. Oh, Nick Gage is going to be on Dynamite this week.
I know. Nick Gage coming out on Dynamite. Talk about what anything could happen moment when MJF is like, "This guy robbed a bank without wearing a mask." I was like, "We're doing Nick Gage."
And then the way he said Nick freaking Gage. First of all, MJF could get me to watch you reading the phone book.
Anybody.
And there's it's a storyline, by the way, this five labors of Jericho. I mean, obviously, he's winning all five matches. Mm-hmm. It's just how do they creatively get you interested every time? I don't know that I would have been interested in him versus Wardlow or him versus, Cash or Dax. But Nick Gage, it's going to be a trash match, but whatever.
I don't know. Nick Gage will make it.
I say trash match, I mean,
it's not going to be a technical showcase.
Correct. We're not talking Brett Owen here.
No.
So it's going to be something. And man, I'm just excited.
You know, I went to a SmackDown taping once. This is probably 2007, 2008, where Triple H had to go through like a three stages of hell during that taping. And one of them was a tables match against John Morrison. And I'll never forget the final spot. They set up the table.
Right.
Triple H grabs him on the top rope, throws him off the top rope, and he just missed the table. And they just kind of looked at each other, and they were like, "Oh, it's a taping." So they just like walked up very carefully to the top rope again, did it again, and on SmackDown, they edited that seamlessly.
Looked incredible.
Looked great.
Yeah, I never I don't have any cool stories like that. But I hope to have them soon because we're going to I'm going to a couple shows. I'm going to be at, I don't know if you're going to go to the New York show, but September 15th, Dynamite's in New York.
I would like to be there. If I could make it, I would definitely be there, yeah.
So we'll do that. We'll do the...
SummerSlam?
I don't know that I could... Oh, yeah, we're going to Vegas for SummerSlam. That's going to be awesome. I got to figure out my schedule. I think I'll be able to get to All Out in Chicago. You going to that?
I don't know. I have no plans right now, but who knows? By the time All Out rolls around,
right
I may
now,
be there.
I'm telling you right now, this summer, we're going to look back at the summer of 21 and be like, that's where it all changed.
Yeah.
Because...
I hope so.
Starting with SummerSlam in...
imagine if Brian and Punk didn't sign and it was just fake reports.
SummerSlam on August 21st. SummerSlam being on a Saturday, by the way.
Weird.
Crazy talk.
Weird.
And then they're doing TakeOver the next day. But starting with SummerSlam on the 21st, then you have All Out on the 5th. Then you have
Arthur Ashe.
Arthur Ashe, thank you, the 22nd. It's just going to be a crazy month of wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, because I know Tony Khan, man. And even though we know CM Punk, even though we know Daniel Bryan, he's going to pull everything out for Arthur Ashe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be shit happen there. It's going to be incredible.
people teased. I think one of the people that maybe the person that put the Daniel Bryan report out said, and there's something else that there is brewing that I can't even talk about, and it's even crazier. What could be crazier?
Was this Sean Ross Sapp?
No.
Okay.
He put out the CM Punk report.
Have you been noticing Sean Ross Sapp just being a breaking news monster all of a sudden?
He's been great for years. He's been like
I didn't notice that. Yeah. I got to give him credit. He's been a beast.
Yeah.
He
never puts out false reports, which is huge in the wrestling
world. I've never been a big Meltzer guy because I feel like he like looks at wrestling with kind of a disdain, an eye of disdain sometimes. Maybe he looks down on it a little bit. Maybe that's just me being passionate fan, a stupid fan.
I like Dave.
I don't mind Dave, but yeah. I feel like sometimes he's looking at it with a side eye, whereas Sean Ross Sapp, I believe, is like a breath of fresh air.
He's a genuine fan. I've known him for like 5 years, and he's like a real fan of wrestling. He wrestled for a bit. He like trained, had matches.
I don't know him. We had beef early in the life of this podcast.
Really?
Yeah, we had, but I got over it. I mean,
with Sean Ross Sapp?
Yeah, I still, it's just a thing. So what happened was I don't even remember who we interviewed. Who did I interview? We did an interview.
We did an interview, and then he didn't credit.
No. He did an interview, and then he put out a story transcribing the quotes, and at the bottom of the story, he said, if you use these quotes, give credit to Fightful.com. I was like, that's my interview.
Gotcha. Anyway, oh, gotcha.
We have a philosophical difference of what he did, what that was. He believed because of the transcription that he didn't want people stealing his work from that.
Yeah, yeah. I've dealt with that in the MMA world. People really are stingy on the transcription. You got to give the HT if you credit them on transcription or anything.
But he felt that way then. He feels that way now. I still feel like that was my interview. You know, you can't jump in and get credit.
I feel like you both have sort of valid points, to be
correct,
honest.
But that's an argument I can put to the side and say, we can figure that out later. This guy is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're just rambling again, but I'll let you go. Robbie, always fun to just talk wrestling.
Yeah, happy to do this.
If you're going to be here on Mondays, you're probably going to just get grabbed for the show.
I'll get grabbed whenever.
All right. All right, boys, you want to make sure you're safe on the internet. You want to make sure all your information is safe. You want to go out there and do what you're going to do without concern about your credit card getting out or your address getting out, stuff like that. Of course you do. We all want that. Nobody on earth wants to say, oh, just leave my credit card out there. Leave my address out there. No. Look me in the face. No. All right, that's stupid. And we're not stupid here at wrestling. We're ugly, we're a little fat, but we're not stupid. Because of that, IP Vanish is a virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN for your computers, your tablets, your phones, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, it's all protected. You don't have to worry about it. You can look at whatever weird thing you want to look at. I'm telling you, no judgment here. Some judgment, but not a lot. If you care about the security of your online activity, the easiest way to protect yourself is an IPVanish VPN. They're rated 4.7 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. IPVanish provides an encrypted connection for all your internet traffic, helping you prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, and even hackers from intercepting your data. You can help keep your financial details, personal information, online activities safe from threats with IPVanish. Get started with this limited time offer and save 65%. Off monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/walker. One more time, that's ipvanish.com/walker, all lowercase. Once more, if you want to listen to wrestling and browse all these professional wrestling websites without people knowing you're a fan of professional wrestling, ipvanish.com/walker.
You just made the list!
We just made the list. Every week we list out a top five, a top seven, a top 10, whatever we want that week. A top five list that we put on our Twitter and our Instagram and make you motherfuckers go crazy. You just react and you go wild. Last week, it was the top seven mic workers of all time. It didn't create the controversy I thought it would. I thought it would be the one that just lit up the internet the most. It lit up the internet, but not as much as others. One of the disagreements was Piper. I think Piper is a great mic worker, especially in 85, 84, 86, around there. But later Piper, like 89 and then WCW, he would always change his voice, you know, and he would, I don't know. I didn't like that. And And he would be talking serious for a second, but then he, you know, it just, I don't know. I didn't like that. 89 Piper, the feud with Rude and on primetime, it's awful. And, you know, I don't know. Piper didn't hold up to me. He's top 10, but he can't get in that top 7. A lot of people had issue with Cena. I'm sorry, Cena's an all-time great mic worker. A lot of people said Flair should have been number one. Yeah, Flair should be number one in any world that The Rock doesn't exist. If The Rock had never been born, Flair would be number one and would be a comfortable number one. But The Rock exists. Sorry, he just does. All right, this week, our top five, my top five, not ours, it's just me. Top five SummerSlams of all time. Number five happened in 2008. It is the latest SummerSlam on this list. That's 13 years without one on the list. But it is the latest, and it is, it's got a Triple H Khali match that is shockingly good. It's got Batista against Cena, which is really good. It's got Undertaker Edge, which is really good on top. It's good throughout. An underrated time in the business in wrestling, because 2008 you had WrestleMania 24, I believe, which was Flair going out. The Shawn Michaels Chris Jericho feud, which lasted through the summer. They just have a segment here, but it's still white hot. You had John Cena returning to the Garden that year. 2008, a pretty good year, and the SummerSlam was really good with Undertaker Edge on top and a Hell in a Cell. Fantastic stuff. 2008, number five. Number four, 1992. I've told you before, 92, probably my favorite year in wrestling ever. The Royal Rumble is the best Royal Rumble ever. WrestleMania 8 and 92 is my favorite WrestleMania. And SummerSlam in London Cena was barely born. With British Bulldog and Bret Hart on top, you had Savage against Warrior. It's just a unique outdoor venue. The only problem with England shows in that era is that incessant horn sound that you have to mute the TV for. But still a great, great, great pay-per-view. 1992 SummerSlam is my number four SummerSlam. Number three, Highway to Hell, Madison Square Garden, 1998. Stone Cold against The Undertaker. You had The Rock against Triple H in a ladder match that took both guys into the stratosphere, especially The Rock. He would be champion. He would be world champion within 3 months. Just a lights out, balls out. Attitude Era was as hot as it could get. WWE was as hot as it could get. Austin against Undertaker in the Garden. It got no bigger in 1998. And again, it launched Triple H, Rocky into the sun. That is number three. Number two, also in the Garden, 1991. I love everything about the 1991 SummerSlam. It doesn't have the marquee match like, or the marquee five-star match like Bret Hart against Bulldog, or even what number one has, but it's just great throughout. Mr. Perfect against Bret Hart, Bret Hart's big moment in the Garden. You've got fun matches like Mountie, Boss Man. You got Legion of Doom at the height of their powers. You got this silly marriage angle. You got the silly match made in hell. It's just fun-ass wrestling for 3 hours, and I was 12, and I think whatever you watch when you're 12 is the best you've ever seen. Anyway, but my number one SummerSlam of all time happened in 2002. I believe it was in Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. 2002 SummerSlam, Brock Lesnar becomes the next big thing. He beats The Rock. The Rock just absolutely put him over like gangbusters. Triple H against Shawn Michaels. Chris Jericho against Ric Flair. Rob Van Dam against a guy. You had Kurt Angle in the incredible singlet that night. The Road Whites against Rey Mysterio. Up and down the card. It is fantastic. The crowd is white hot all night. The Shawn Triple H match is at least a top three, maybe a top two match in SummerSlam history. You've got Rock giving it to Brock at the end. Beautiful, beautiful professional wrestling, and that is the greatest SummerSlam of all time. Again, 2008 is number five, 1992 in London, England, number four, 1998, Highway to Hell, number three, 1991, the match made in hell, number two, and 2002, the next big thing, number one SummerSlam of all time.
You just made the list!
Aria, you know I have many kids, right?
You have 10, right?
I have four. It feels like 10. Oh, anyway, okay. I got the whole set. The entire kit they sell at Target, I've got that. Yeah. That is my set of kids. And because of that, every device I got goes through it. It goes through it. It's down bad. My phone, scared to death. My tablets, don't even want to see the light of day. My TVs, shake in fear. Everything I got that's electronic is nervous around my kids. But Nomad NomadGoods.com. I'm telling you, these guys have some of the best cases. These guys have some of the best products. These guys have some of the best electronics stuff you'll ever see. The crew at Nomad was tired of dealing with flimsy charging cables that seem to fall apart every few months. That is so effing frustrating. When you've got a charger, everything's going good, all of a sudden the charger just doesn't work anymore. That makes me angrier than maybe anything in the world. So they set out to engineer, well, world hunger and racism. So they set out to engineer some of the most rugged and badass cables around, reinforced with double braided Kevlar outer sheath, strong metal alloy connector housings. Nomad cables have been engineered for extreme durability and heavy everyday use. Nomad is and always will be a company that prioritizes design and quality over everything else. One of the most important aspects to Nomad when designing new products is they have the highest quality, longest lasting materials available. They design all their concepts from the ground up rather than white labeling existing products. They use leather from the Horween Tannery in Chicago that smells amazing and climate neutral certified brand. They've just got all kind of mobile accessories. They got cases, they got cables, they got everything that makes everything you go through your daily life. You have a case on your phone, Nomad makes it better. You have chargers for your phone, Nomad makes them more reliable and longer lasting. I'm telling you, Nomad is legit. It's fantastic. I've got my Nomad case on my phone right now. Check out Nomad at nomadgoods.com/wrestling to see what living the Nomad life is all about. That's NOMADGOODS.com/wrestling. RASSLIN. That's wrestling. All right. Once more into the breach, dear friends. Here we go. It is your turn. And what does that mean? We will see in just a minute. Put the old headphones here. Seems like we've gotten a lot of heat. A lot of back and forth over the voicemail. See who wants to put themselves over, who wants to partner up. Let's see. How many voicemails we got today, Arya?
We got 7.
Are the people in good spirits?
They are actually in good spirits this week.
I don't know that I can ever believe you.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't.
I mean, you know things I don't know right now. In fact, are you the higher power? Like, you're the guy...
I'm the anonymous GM.
Yeah, I think you're the anonymous GM. I think you're the guy that's pulling the strings on this whole thing.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm not telling people to say what they should be saying, though. So, it's all on the people.
All right, let's see. I stopped short of making sure everybody acknowledges me this week. But we'll monitor how this goes. 202.
It is
202-646.
Nope.
No, that's the other. I have multiple shows with multiple numbers. 202-810.
Yep.
4249.
You nailed it.
202-810-4249. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know how you did because I can't memorize it.
It's a tough one to memorize.
Yeah.
The other one I got over there is, see, I don't remember. 646 something, whatever. Voicemail number one.
Hey, Brandon. It's Frank from Baltimore here. Got a question for you. I know you're not the biggest CM Punk fan in the world, but with his return looking very likely, I was curious about between the two promotions, AEW and WWE, which match would be most interesting for you to see for a CM Punk return? You're my guy, Brandon. Love the pod.
See, that's somebody coming right out of the gate. Acknowledging, I appreciate that. You're my guy, brother, Frank in Baltimore. So, which match? And no, I think I explained earlier with Robbie, and I should explain it. I'm a fan of CM Punk the wrestler. I'm a big fan. I was never a huge fan of backstage CM Punk, but it always felt like whether he was not happy or whatever. I don't know. But as a wrestler in the ring, he's very good. As a wrestler on the mic, he's unparalleled. He's untouched. But he's an all-time great professional wrestler. And I felt like he left before his all-time legacy got cemented. Like, I feel like if Michael Jordan had... I don't think he's at Michael Jordan level. But if Michael Jordan had retired the first time and stayed retired, I felt like that's what we have with CM Punk. Like, he retired too early and we didn't get... Barry Sanders is a good comp. Barry Sanders, somebody that was very, very good, retired early. And I don't know. But I'm glad to see him back. And I'm happy to see him write the ending to his career he wants, write the second chapter he wants, write whatever he wants to write, because he is uniquely talented and one of the most fun to watch guys in any federation, any area of wrestling. He's just great. Now, as far as matches, there's just so many possibilities in AEW because they got so many guys. Like I know you, the answer really is probably with Brian too. It's probably Brian Omega and Punk Omega. Because Kenny Omega is probably the best wrestler in the world right now. As far as putting match quality on and getting great matches out of his opponents. That's the prize here with both Punk and Brian. However, if you talk about both of those guys, and we'll take Punk for example. Just go down the list. Punk versus Andrade. Punk versus Malakai Black. Punk versus Hangman Page. Punk versus Sammy Guevara. Punk versus Chris Jericho. Punk versus Pac. You know, but it's just on and on and on and on. There's so many. Punk versus Penta. Punk versus Rey Fénix. Punk versus any of these guys. Like, there's just, and I know I'm missing several. There's just so many great wrestlers in AEW that the possibilities are endless. And but if you had to make me say one, it's going to be for both guys, Kenny Omega, ultimately. All right, voicemail number two.
Hey, Brandon. Hey, Aria. It's Pat from Winnipeg. I have two great joys in my life right now, Brandon. Number one is my beautiful wife who's staring at me, mm-hmm. making sure that she's number one. Hi, honey. Beautiful. And the other one is All Elite Wrestling. Mm-hmm. I need you to help me not rethink that, because one thing I hate is too much of a good thing. And right now, AEW, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, I take your opinion in high regard, has too many factions. So this week we saw Chavo Guerrero going with Andrade. We have the Death Triangle. We have the Factory. We have the Nightmare Family. We have, God, just all of them.
Yeah.
I'm missing the last two. I can't even think of them. Is there too many factions in AEW? Please let me know what you think.
Well, yeah, you stopped short. I mean, you didn't say the Pinnacle. You didn't say the Elite. You didn't say Jurassic Express. I mean, on and on and on. The Dark, Wingmen.
Dark Order.
Dark Order. Yeah, Dark Order is the main one. Like, here's the way I look at it. I do not think there's too many factions in AEW. I think it's very realistic because you're not seeing a whole lot of. It's not like gang warfare like 1997 when you had DOA against Los Boricuas against the Nation. It's not like that. It's the Best Friends with Orange Cassidy is another faction. Like, if you fought for a living, if you were a single wrestler, and you went into a company where you looked around. And there was a group of four over there. There was a group of three over there. There was a group of five over there. There's a group of four over there. A group of six over there. If you look around at that, realistically, in kayfabe, reality, or whatever, if you look around at that and you know that those three aren't going to war without each other, if you're wrestling one, then the other two are going to show up. If you know that, then logically, aren't you going to surround yourself with somebody too? Aren't you're not going to go into a knife fight with a piece of silly string. You're going to counter whatever is happening in the world. So if in the world of AEW, if in this forest, if in this ecosystem, there are pods of wrestlers, then being a lone wrestler in that, now it works for some people like Moxley, but being a lone, it wouldn't make sense. You would be throwing yourself out. You'd be suicide every night. You'd just be getting destroyed. So logically, if I'm going into a fight with a bunch of teams, I better make sure I'm either on a team or start a team. So I think AEW is doing makes a lot of sense. Plus, you're able to fragment, you're able to build feuds around it. It's just I think it's fantastic. And like you mentioned Andrade with Chavo, I think, and then you mentioned Death Triangle. I think like logically, wouldn't the story be that? Penta and Rey Fénix end up turning on Pac and going with Andrade. Doesn't that make a lot of sense? Isn't that an appealing story, a fantastic story? I mean, Pac is literally a bastard. Are there people that's going to rally around him? So, I don't know, man. I think it creates interesting storylines and interesting avenues, interesting layers. And just because WWE's had guys that like don't interact behind the scenes or don't interact and they're just one character after one character after one character, I love this. I think it makes a lot of sense. All right. Voicemail number three.
Hey, Vince. I mean Brandon. Great. Love the podcast last week. Something that you mentioned that I've been thinking about is stakes. You mentioned how Royal Rumble and Money in the Bank, they have stakes, but Survivor Series does not. And like you said, no one really cares about brand supremacy. So do you have any ideas what stakes that they could maybe implement to Survivor Series to make it feel important? I've had this conversation with friends in the past, and some things we talked about was the brand that wins Survivor Series gets the marquee match at WrestleMania, meaning they get to go last. But I think that diminishes the Royal Rumble victory a little bit and telegraphs it a little bit too much. We also discussed NXT teams, winning teams or survivors. They get WWE contracts either Raw or SmackDown, but then we think that probably diminishes the NXT brand and makes it very much developmental as opposed to a third brand. So we really couldn't come up with anything. Interested to see what ideas you have, if any, or are we just stuck with Survivor Series the way it is? Thanks for taking my call, and I stand with Macho.
What did you say? Was that last sentence?
He said, I stand with Macho very quickly.
You enjoying this?
I didn't catch that the first time around, and I just caught it now in real time.
So I'm going to answer his question before he deviated there at the end into Bastardville. You know, I think it requires maybe maybe we need to have a wrestling planning meeting. It requires really some serious thought here. So just freeballing, though, like in the Raw versus SmackDown 5-on-5 match, which never has circumstances, or I'm sorry, never has real stakes, but you just have guys showing up in red shirts all of a sudden in blue shirts when they never wear them any other time of the year. And maybe the winner of that, the last man standing, or the winning team gets title shots on their brand. Maybe that's something. That's an easy stake you could do. Of course, then you've got fucking Royal Rumble, which is a title shot. You have Money in the Bank, which is a title shot. As far as the head up match between the Raw and SmackDown champion, yeah, I actually think that WrestleMania main event spot makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. And I don't really see the drawback with the Royal Rumble thing. I really don't, because you still have the intrigue of which champion he would face, but I guess he would always choose the one that has the main spot. So, yeah, okay, now I see where you're coming from. And NXT, I like that too, because we know these guys want contracts, and I don't think it diminishes NXT or makes it develop. It is a developmental brand. I think it was at its best when it was branded a developmental brand. As a third brand, it's gotten stagnant and stale in a little bit. I believe it should be a developmental brand. It should be. We should want to see guys get out of Full Sail, get out of the NXT Performance Center and go on the big show. Like, Triple H knows what he's doing, and I feel like that's when NXT was at its very, very best. It's still very good. It's still fantastic. I think people panicking about NXT are wrong, but I would love to see that. Like, if NXT had a 5-on-5 match and were able to earn themselves contracts, or maybe the guy that gets the pin, maybe the guy that gets the pinfall or the deciding pinfall gets a contract, and then you've got the intrigue of, well, who will get it, how will they stop anybody else from getting it, can anybody trust anybody, stuff like that. But I like that idea, and I'd love to think about more ideas for the Survivor Series, because I think it could work. Voicemail number 4.
Hey Brandon, it's Nick in New Jersey. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Roman Reigns on SmackDown saying he doesn't want the same old John Cena and turning down his challenge for SummerSlam. Do you think we might see Cena come back as the Doctor of Thugonomics for the rest of this feud?
That I don't see. I don't see him reverting to that. I see him maybe... does Cena, like, ramp up his Hollywoodness? Does he's definitely going to change something. He's definitely going to bring something that we haven't seen before. I love the meta-ness. I love the idea of Roman Reigns demanding to see a different side of somebody, demanding to not see the same old thing, when for years and years and years, all fans wanted was a different side of Roman, and they didn't want what they got from Roman. They rejected that. They acknowledged Roman was good, but this wasn't it. And that's exactly what he's doing to Cena. And the fact that he said it was like missionary sex, just wonderful. Roman Reigns is on another planet right now. And I don't know this story of Finn Balor stepping in and accepting the challenge. I certainly hope it doesn't lead to like a triple threat at SummerSlam. I don't want this thing diluted at all. Hopefully they settle that on SmackDown and figure it out. But they got 6 weeks of storytelling they got to do. And I don't know you're going to have John Cena all 6 of the weeks. So they're getting creative with it. But no, Dr. Thugonomics for sure not. But we'll definitely see a twist to John Cena, which is going to be interesting, I think. Voicemail number 5.
Oh, yeah, brother. Had to stare at a candle for 2 hours to get my mind right to get a call in on you, Brandon Walker. Brother, I don't know what you think you're doing coming into the wrestling world. You came into OVW. You walked around like your shit didn't stink. You had a shirt on that said the most famous person in the building. brother, you couldn't even hold Tony Gunn's jock strap.
That's it. This is just a call out.
That was it?
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Someone cutting a promo on you.
Who the hell is Tony Gunn?
I have no idea. I was hoping you'd cut a promo on
him. Well, no, I know who it is. OVW wrestler. But. Who the hell is Tony Gunn? You calling Brandon fucking Walker in New York City, and you're going to drop the name of some podunk in Whistle Dick, Kentucky? Tony Gunn? Tony Gunn might as well be my cab driver when I go home. Tony fucking Gunn. You're going to call me with Tony Gunn? I'm sure he's a very talented man, but he's in Kentucky. What? This guy's making out with his sister. What are you talking about, Brandon Walker? I'm Mr. New York City. I'm Mr. 7th Avenue. I'm Mr. Madison Square Garden. Don't give me Mr. KFC Yum Center. Fuck all that. I'm Brandon Walker. I'm sure Tony Gunn's a great guy, but whatever. Actually, he is. He worked with Big Trouble with Ben Bishop the night after we left.
Oh, yeah.
I heard Tony Gunn's fantastic.
Yeah,
human being, fantastic wrestler.
Yeah,
but for the purposes of this show, what? Voicemail number 6, please.
Hey, Brandon. Jackson McCormick here. With Daniel Bryan and CM Punk being rumored to go to AEW, who would you be the most excited for them to get in the ring with? And also, I'm training to become a pro wrestler, so if you are interested in expanding BW Enterprises, I'm your guy. All right, thank you.
First of all, it's BFW Enterprises, and we are always taking applications. So you're breaking into the wrestling business. Good for you. Good luck. It's a tough business to be in, but hopefully you got what it takes, and you'll do great. Now, I'm going to be honest. I didn't hear his question, so you're either going to have to tell me what the question was, or you're going to have to replay it.
So I'm just going to tell you. You already basically answered this for CM Punk. He's asking, who do you want to see them to fight, basically.
Yeah.
But I did play it because of to expand your enterprises.
Oh, yeah. We're always – no, our keystone, our cornerstone is Big Trouble Ben Bishop.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6'12". He's 15% of a metric ton. You're talking about the earthquake and pillar shaking leader of the Meat Pop Express. I mean, that is money right there. That's the guy.
Yep.
But I'm always looking for the next guy.
Exactly.
So, Josh in Oklahoma, if you're the next guy, be the next guy, brother.
Yep.
All right. Voicemail number 7. Yep.
Yeah, Brandon. Yeah, very awkward calling in this week. Yeah, I must say, yeah. Yeah. Last week's voicemail, yeah, did not go according to plan. Yeah. Now, look. I've said some things about you. You said some things about me. At the end of the day, it's like Tony and Junior Soprano. Yeah, this disagreement started over pussy. Yeah. But let me take you back, Brandon. Yeah. Episode 26. Yeah. There's a fan by the name of Kalisto Guy who did not call in that week. And you referred to me not once, but twice as your boy, yeah. And then you regulated me back down. The guy status, yeah. See, you got a lot of guys there, Brandon. You got Pat from Winnipeg. You got Jimmy T from Queens. Yeah, how you doing, yeah. But Macho Man is your one and only boy, yeah. I need you like you need me, yeah. We're destined to do this thing forever. I ain't going to no other podcast. Yeah, I'm staying right here. Yeah, because Brandon Walker and the Macho Man Boy Guy, yeah, we're going to team up. Yeah, we'll be the Bad Boys of Wrestling, yeah. And then we're going to shake hands and we're going to acknowledge, yeah. You're either with us or you're against us there, Brandon.
That is my boy. That right there, that's wrestling right there, baby. That is this podcast. That's Brandon fucking Walker. That's my boy. I'm sorry I called him my guy. And you know what? Family can fight every now and then. You know what I'm saying? Family can fight. But when you come at the family, you're getting all of us. You're getting all of us, brother. You hear me? That is my boy, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is wrestling.